All right. Good evening, everyone. Glad to see you all, and what a joy it is for us again to come to the throne of grace, to come to the feet of our Lord Jesus after a busy day and a busy work week and activities that we were in. It's that joyful to know that he's in our midst this evening, as always, as he promised. And as we just sang, he's a shelter in the midst of our storm. What a peace that would rule our heart to know that he's a shelter for us in a life of various storms that we go through. And a typical example is Sister Mary Sayers. She's right back after a little storm that she went through in her life and how God led her through. And we've been praying for her, and God gave her all the healing and the grace enough to be back and to join us. That's amazing to know that our God is good and gracious. All right, so let's go to the Word. And if we can turn to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, where we see a kind of a series of parables. I'm not going to go deep dive into parables as we've already gone through that intro, but I just wanted to focus on the parable that we see in verse 26 to 29. And if you see the header, it says the parable of the seed. So before I start reading the verse, if we can focus just for a moment on chapter 4, the header that starts in chapter 4, the header goes with parable of the sower. And then we come to verse 26 saying the parable of the seed. But if you look at it closely, we can see that the actors or the main elements, I should say, in both the parables are pretty much the same. So that's something that we can see in both the parables. But the moral that the Lord had for us for both the parables are, I wouldn't say significantly different, but there is a difference. So if you see, I was going through that. Why is the header of verse one shows the parable of the sower when the sower and the seed equally is involved in that parable versus verse 26 to 29, where it says parable of the seed? So if you look closely in just a minute to just give you the difference, I know somebody else would be going through that parable down the road, but the main emphasis that the Lord is trying to emphasize in the first portion of four is on the sower, because we see that the sower is scattering seeds in multiple places. And when it comes to verse 26, there is a sower that is scattering the seed in just one place. So that's what the primary difference. And we see that place is also mentioned in the different scenarios of the parable in chapter 4 and verse 8. So I'll go through all that as we cruise along in this chapter. So let's read the verse from chapter 4 and verse 21. 26. If I said 21, my apologies. So verse 26 to 29. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by the day, and seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So one thing we can focus for the moment is in the verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God. So we often hear the word kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven interchangeably. And I've heard preachers saying it is different. People, dear ones, say it is the same. That is not my topic. But kingdom of God, broadly speaking, is the rule of an external sovereign God over the universe. So there are several passages. I would just take a couple of passages that proves that God is an undeniable monarch of all creation. He is the invisible God who created everything that we see and we did not see. And we have the proof from the scriptures. And let's quickly turn to Psalms 103 and verse 19. I'll just read it. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. And Daniel chapter 4 and verse 3 says, how great are his signs, how mighty is his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. So these are the words that, and there are more verses due to the lack of time, I'm not going there, but we know that kingdom of God based on the scriptures, from an in-depth meaning, from a spiritual meaning, is the power of God or the spiritual rule of God in our hearts and life of those who are born again, blood-bought children of the living God. So that is what we see in the scriptures. And one more time, if anybody's writing notes, it is a spiritual rule of God in our lives, those who willingly give or submit to God's authority. And we can see that, and it's always going back to the scriptures, would zeal or seal what we are defend in our faith. So we see in John chapter 3 and verse 5, one can enter the kingdom of God. It's the same kingdom of God that we see in the book of John as well. One can enter the kingdom of God by being born again. And it goes on saying, Jesus answered, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised in me saying, you must be born again. That's a commandment of the Lord. And that is why we are here, those who are here, because we have been washed by the blood of the Lord on the cross. And we belong to the kingdom of God. So that is a little intro, because we need to understand what is the kingdom of God and who are included in the kingdom of God. And verse 18 of chapter 18 of John 36 says, my kingdom, the Lord says, my kingdom is not of the world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. So he says, but his kingdom is not of the world. Just as like that, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. There's a big difference. And we all know that even though we are in the world, we do not belong to the world. We are not of the world. Okay, so coming back to the parable. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. So what is different? As I mentioned before, he is scattering seed only in one location, unlike the parable of the sower that we see in the beginning verses of chapter 4. In this scenario, the farmer is scattering seeds on the soil. So after that, what happens? He goes to bed at night and gets up by the day, and seed sprouts and grows. So if you focus here, even though the parable does not say literally that it is not an overnight process, we can understand that it is a continuous process, which I will come to in a moment. So what I'm trying to say here is that there is nothing, if you look at it, there is nothing the farmer created in order for the seed to grow. If you look at the ingredients or the elements that helps the seed to grow, as farmers, as we are from India, and we, even though we were not farmers, we know to an extent, or even in the US, there is farming needed for us to live. I mean, we need rice and all the cultivation for us to live in the world. So if you look at the farmer who scattered the seed, but there is nothing that he created was an element in the growth of the seed. I hope you're all getting what I'm trying to say. There's absolutely nothing. The seed does not belong to him in the sense that he did not create the seed. He did not create the water that is pouring for the growth, the sunshine, and in modern terms, the Miracle-Gro, probably. In olden days, probably something like Miracle-Gro, an organic ingredient, but it's all not something that the farmer created. If you look at it, it all comes from the God of creation. So in this, when the farmer scatters the seed, the moral we can get from here is the seed of the gospel of God. When the seed is scattered as farmers, as you and me, when we scatter the seed of the word of God in a fertile soil, from there's nothing that the farmer is doing. If you look at here, the farmer is spending his day and his night on his earthly chores. He's not doing anything in particular for the growth of the seed, except he might be watering from an earthly perspective. The sunshine is helping, but he's not doing anything apart from it. So I heard of an illustration of a farmer who was scattering the same scenario of seeds on the soil. So his neighbor asked and was curious, how does this grow? So he came and asked, "Hey, I see you scattering seeds. Can you tell me how does it grow?" And he said, "I scatter the seeds, water it, and the sunshine and the Miracle-Gro and all these, which is from God." He didn't say that, but I'm just giving you that info. All these helps from the seed from germinating, helps the seed to germinate. And the neighbor asked him again, "But how does it grow?" He's not getting his answer that he's looking for. So farmer who was a degree in agriculture, might have been a bachelor in agriculture. So he started explaining the ingredients or the parts of the seed. So he started from the scratch saying that the parts of the seed, like seed cod, embryo, endosperm, and all the germination techniques, he started to explain to convince the neighbor as to how the seed grows. And the neighbor again responds saying, "I understand all that you're explaining the parts of the seed, but how does it grow?" So finally, he had to admit and say, "I don't know, sir. It's a seed, and I know that's what it does, germinate and grow into a plant." So even the farmer who's dedicated to his work, he is not sure how that seed germinates to a plant. But one thing he knows, that it will germinate into a plant if it's in fertile soil. Likewise, that's what the gospel does in each one of our lives. And that's what it did in each one of our lives as well, one point or the other. When the seed of the gospel was planted in my heart and your heart, at that time, all that we did is just to accept. There is nothing that we came with to enhance or add to the gospel. We came just as we were. As we have heard, only a patient needs a doctor, right? Nobody else needs a doctor. So we were all patients in sin, and that's what we did. When the seed was planted by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we accepted the Lord, and we became born again Christians. And we see in the book of Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians, verse 5 and 17. If any man be in Christ, we all know these verses. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or he is a new creation. And I know everybody's looking at me, but I would expect responses. So lack of time, it is a creation. There's a significant difference between creator and creation. We don't have time to go through that. But that is the transforming act of our Lord in our lives through the Holy Spirit, where we are convinced and convicted that we are sinners and we come to the Lord. So lessons that we can learn going from verse 26. The seed, or from the parable, we can see that it's organic in the sense there's nothing in the parable that says the farmer was using any chemical fertilizers or any pesticides or any artificial agents to provoke or speed up the germination of the seed. But unfortunately, in our Christian realm, we see that there's a lot of chemical fertilizers being used from the conviction of gospel. And we all know what's happening in the Christendom today, unfortunately, sadly, where people are proclaiming the gospel using this chemical fertilizers of prosperity gospel, healing ministries, and all these are just peripherals. They are using that to attract people to Christ. And that's what we see in the first parable of the sower. We see in chapter 4, where there were seeds that fell on the road and on rocky ground. So we know, I don't have to go through that because that's another whole session. So these two are the same what is happening in the last days in our Christendom, unfortunately, are falling on rocky ground and on roads where people get an enlightenment. They get pumped up with all the prosperity gospel that fail the main target of the love of God in their lives. And they drift away from the truth. So it's beautifully that the Lord is explaining in this parable. The only thing that you and I have to do is to scatter the seed. So in this parable, we are the farmers. That's all that Lord desires from us. We are not converters. Let me make it very clear for the glory of God. God hasn't asked us to convert souls. Never in the scriptures. Anywhere in the scriptures, the Lord says that. He just asked to proclaim the gospel. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. So another wonderful truth that we learn from the parable here is that when the farmers scatter the seed and is falling to the soil, it's coming from the top to the bottom. It's going inside and is sprouting up. So gospel has to take root in our inside. And in the long course, works its way out externally. So that is the moral we have to keep in mind. When the seed is scattered to the ground and when the ingredients are there for the seed to germinate and it becomes a plant, it is not still laying in the surface. It is coming out of the surface as a plant. But that is what the Lord expects from each one of our lives too. When the seed is cast in our hearts and we believe and trust in God, as time goes by, as we see in verse 27, he goes to bed at night and gets up in the day, not just one day, it's a course. And in due time, the plan comes out. So the change, the transformation in a person's life when he becomes born again is inside and getting rooted in the Word of God. And that gets manifested outside of the surface that the world will see the change in our lives. So brothers and sisters, we all know if there's no change when a person claims that he's a born again Christian, I don't want to expand further on that, but there's something absolutely wrong. So the change that we need to have again is from the inside out. But what are we seeing in the world today? So many people, like so-called religious people, they're going to church. They are outside. They are starting outside the surface, outside the soil. They're going to church on Easter. They're going to church on Christmas Day. They're doing things, they're wearing something, shows their religious perspective. They are going, starting off outwardly, and then trying to build up inside. That's absolutely not what the Word of God says. We, as Christians, as believers, we have been rooted, and then we sprouted out. Likewise, every person in this world has to be having that germination inside the soil, and this should sprout out. And that's what the Pharisees did. If you look at the Word of God, we see the Pharisees. They were wearing a white attire. They were publicly praying. They were publicly preaching. Why? Because they want to show them externally, and there is no change within. So that is what is just contrary to what the Word of God says. Second point is that, as we all know, a Christian life, it's three main phases of Christian life. It starts with what? Justification. And justification, my time is running out. Justification, quickly go through. What is the next? Sanctification and glorification. So justification in our lives is a quick moment. When just as a seed germinates, the justification is when we are justified by grace of our Lord. It's a momental, it's not an, I wouldn't say experience, but the time in his or her life, and he's convicted that he's a sinner, when he's accepting the Lord Jesus in his life, that is when that moment he is justified by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. But sanctification is not a momental thing. It is a day by day by day by day progression of our inner spiritual journey with the Lord. You know, in this world that we live in, everybody wants everything quick. And even in the spiritual realm, everybody, once they become born again, and the moment they want to be like pumped up and, you know, show the world that they are already there, the next part they're waiting for is glorification. Absolutely not. You know, it's like the culture that we are in. Everything is quick. You know, I was going through an article where it says, many years back, it was restaurants there, right? We go dine and eat. And then after that, what happened? That transformation went to fast food. Nobody has the patience to wait. So after fast food, then came the drive-thru, right? And now we all go to McDonald's or people, you know, places like that through drive-thru. And now it's another level. Now I've seen two drive-thrus parallelly going. In McDonald's, we have gone to McDonald's. I always go there. Two parallel drive-thrus. And then another step now, where in Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out, we go in the line, already a person is outside taking the order, right? So what is the intent of all this? Everything, people are expected to be fast. We don't have time. But unfortunately, in Christian life, sanctification doesn't work like that. We need to be sanctified daily in our life. So it is sanctification in the Christian life is not like a sprint that we run 100 meters. It's like a marathon where it takes its course steadily. So after that, once we are sanctified, we are glorified. Wow, what a moment. That will be a blessed hope that we have in the Lord, that we will be glorified, made like our Lord Jesus, given a resurrected body by the Lord. What a glorious moment that will be, that we are hoping and running towards. Another thing is that this germination, after the plant comes out from the soil, it is public. So we cannot be hidden Christians. We have the responsibility given by God once we are out of the soil, germinated, gone through that process of becoming a plant. Now everybody is watching this. What is an accountability? What an accountability that we have when we are out. We are out in the public. Is anyone seeing a change in our lives? Does anyone through our actions say, hey, there's something different in him? The words that he speaks, the mannerisms that he has. He might not be saying any curse words or anything like that, but there should be a glow in our face to reflect the shining nature of Christ in our lives. If we don't have that change in our lives, brethren, it is high time, including me. That's why I always say we, you know, we need to show forth Christ in and through our lives. So let us be encouraged by these verses. As we see here, coming back, the farmer scatters the seed. He goes by his earthly chores. That's what we are expected to do. Scatter the seed. and the Holy Spirit works his power in the germination of the seed, and it will come sprout out from the soil as a full-grown plant. And that's what God expects from you and me, and that's what we have to do. That is a responsibility and the commandment. Go ye into all the world. We don't have to go through every nook and corner of the world. Some people can. We won't be. But wherever God has placed us, in our workplace, in our school, special children, there, you know, we are prone to be influenced by others. I always tell my kids, do not be influenced, negatively influenced by others, but rather you be a spiritual influence that others may see Christ in their lives, especially to our children and younger generation and to the older ones. Everybody's equal in this. We have to take every effort to show forth Christ in us, in our lives. So the moral from this parable, the Lord is telling us to throw the seed, share the gospel, and ask the Lord to grow it. Again, let me repeat. Let us throw the seed and ask the Lord to grow it. Throw and grow. Okay, if we remember these two words, that would really encourage us, brethren, to throw the seed and to pray for the growth of the seed for the glory of God. That's all I have, brethren. So I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and to each one of us this evening time, that let us take it as a challenge to show forth Christ in and through our lives. Thank you.